Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Amen. It's such a treat to be with you. And I think it's been about a year and a half. I was just seeing as I was walking in that I've been here, and my gosh, what the Lord has done, what the Lord has done amongst you guys. I am so encouraged by the presence of God and what He is doing in this place. So let's talk about dreams and visions. In 1963, there was a very famous speech that started off with, "I have a dream that one day." Who knows that? Who's heard of that before? Martin Luther King. And he had a dream. He had captured the heart of God for the kingdom of God to be on earth as it is in heaven. He captured the same heart for every man, woman, and child to be treated equally on earth as God sees them in heaven. And God's given us dreams as a very powerful way to capture His heart and capture a vision that He has for something, and actually to see that happen in the world, to see that happen here through us, through His kids, but to be the outworking of what is in the heart of the Father. And we see this all through Scripture. We see this all the way from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. But the Scripture we're going to look at today primarily is Acts 2. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Acts 2, we're going to read from verses 14 to 21. And this, we enter the Scripture in the day of Pentecost, one of my favorite days, because it's all about the Holy Spirit and the activation of the church to be the church. And Peter is speaking, and he is standing with the 11. He is addressing the 11. The Spirit has just come. There's wild things happening, and they're not really totally sure what is happening. They know God's doing something. They're not exactly sure what. So Peter brings clarity to the situation. He says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." It's about 9 a.m. in the morning. People are acting a little crazy. "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." And then he quotes the prophet Joel in verse 17. It says, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, on your sons and your daughters. They shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Jumping down to verse 21, it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this, my friends, is the moment in time we find ourselves in. We find ourselves in this moment where God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, and where all who call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. It's actually a pretty phenomenal time to be born and to be living. I was thinking, I was reading from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and just looking at like the 400 years where there was no sign of the presence of God on earth. Like, I can't even imagine what that would be like. No sign at all. They had to wait until Jesus came, and when He came, there started to be some signs, and He turns water into wine, and the glory, it says, the glory of the Lord returned. How crazy that we actually get to live in a time not only where the glory of the Lord is present, like it was when Jesus was walking the earth, but the glory of the Lord is inside of us, like that He inhabits inside of us. It's a pretty wild time when you think about it. Anyway, so we see here that we are living in that moment. Also, rewinding. So we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that God is giving dreams and visions. We see that in Genesis, He talks to Jacob. We see Paul being given direction by dreams, by Lord appearing in dreams. But also more recently, God is still giving dreams and visions. And I want to share with us a testimony from 1924 to 1925. So not super recent, but let's say more recent than the New Testament. I want to talk to you about an amazing woman called Mary Molly. She was known as Ayers is her last name. And I only discovered Molly recently, but I love her already. She is a very passionate, on fire Australian woman for God who had followed the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit all the way to the US. That would have been quite a feat for a woman by herself in 1924. So she finds herself in the US. She receives a word from God to go and speak to a very popular evangelist called A.C. Valdez. So she literally rocks up at his house. I pray for boldness like Molly. She rocks up at his house and she knocks on the door and she says, hello, Mr. Valdez. I have the word of the Lord for you. And he is telling me that you are going to go to Australia and that you are going to bring revival to Australia. Luckily for Molly, well, not luckily, that's what happens when you follow the Lord, but this was a confirmation for this evangelist about something that the Lord had spoken to him about a long time ago. So he goes to bed that night after the word from Molly and he has a dream. And in this dream, the Lord appears to him and shows him that he's going to go to New Zealand and then he's going to go to Australia. And so vivid is the dream that this guy has, that that A.C. Valdez has, that he sees the ship that he's going to travel on. No aeroplanes then. They literally had to travel for months on ships. And he sees the name, TSS Monganui is the name of a boat. You would remember that name, right? Monganui, it's so weird. Anyway, he needs a financial blessing. So from this dream, literally within a couple of weeks, he receives a financial blessing to take his whole family on this trip. Sure enough, when they get the, I think it's like the stamp out thing that they used to have with the ticket for the plane, the boat, the name of the ship is TSS Monganui. The Lord. He travels all the way to New Zealand, does some stuff in New Zealand, gets to Melbourne. He does some prayer meetings in the city centre. Then he's invited out by a guy named named Greenwood, C.L. Greenwood, out to have a meeting, a prayer meeting in Sunshine, which is in the west of our city here in Melbourne. So he comes along, he has this prayer meeting. All of a sudden, the Lord starts to move in crazy ways and bursts what we now know as a year of meetings called the Sunshine Revival. Out of the Sunshine Revival, these people who are so hungry for the Lord and the Lord is moving in a wild way, they're people that are being like baptized in the Spirit of God as they're traveling to these prayer meetings on trains. Like, it's wild. That moves to Richmond and bursts the very house that we are in today. So our house is birthed from a dream that someone had based on a prophetic word that someone had given them, and here we find ourselves today. God is pretty cool when he talks through dreams. So dreams, they come in different ways, different forms, and I wanted to share with us some of those because I think sometimes we think, oh, we don't really hear from God in like dreams, but sometimes they come in different ways than we expect. One of the first ways I want to share with us is actually about a divinely inspired idea. Sometimes a dream can come in the form of a divinely inspired idea. We see this in King David's life. You can read in 1 Chronicles 28, but it talks about how he passes on to Solomon details of the construction of the temple and the way the Levites needed to minister to the Lord in the temple, all through this like divinely inspired idea that God has that has given him. And he passes this on to his son Solomon to actually create this temple. In a really similar way, a bit more recently, is Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, I can't find anywhere where she had like a nighttime dream, but she had this divine idea to minister to the poorest of the poor, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a place and in places where no one else would go. So sometimes the Lord can share a dream that is in his heart through a divinely inspired idea. Another way that he can share his heart and his vision and dreams with us is through an aspiration or a desire. We see this in Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, he's a cupbearer to the king. He's working in the palace of the king of Persia at the time. And he would have had a pretty like cool, laid-back kind of life. But his job is to taste the things that come before the king so that if they were ever poisoned, he would die before the king. So you're going to have a prayer life when you're Nehemiah. But he captures the heart of God for the people, for his people and for the city of Jerusalem, for the walls of the city. In the first book, you literally find news that is being brought to him about the state of his own people. So there's runners and messengers that are going between towns in the ancient world. And he keeps asking them, like, can you tell me what's happened? The people have just been released from Babylon. And he's like, how are the people of God? And they're saying, it's terrible. The walls are broken down Jerusalem. They're being ransacked. There's not great things happening. And Nehemiah, so his heart's so burdened by this. It talks about him crying and crying out to God. And then you move forward into the fourth chapter of this book, and Nehemiah goes to the king and he asks the king, like, would you release me that I can go and like rebuild these walls? So it's not a vision that Nehemiah has, but it definitely is something that is inspired by the dream that is in the heart of the Lord, an aspiration or a desire. A little more recently, we have some of you may know the organization called Awakening Australia, who organize big meetings for believers to get together, worship God, and to see men and women equipped. They actually, Pastor Daniel Hagen and Pastor Ben Fitzgerald, share this aspiration or desire that the church would once again be united to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ and for training believers in evangelism and for you and me to rise up in prayer again for what has been called the great southern land of the Holy Spirit. You can see how this is like a divine aspiration or desire. Another way that God can talk to us about is through visions while we're actually awake. Who's had like a vision of some kind while they've been awake in their redeemed imagination? My gosh, you're such dreamers and visionary people here in this house. Wow. So in Acts 9, we see a disciple by the name of Ananias, and the Lord speaks to him in a vision. You can see this in verse 10 to 12. It says, Ananias, he says, "Here I am, the Lord." And the Lord says to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain sight." So here in the book of Acts, we're seeing Ananias actually in the moment where Saul becomes Paul, but he's led by a vision from God. More recent times, an example of that is the evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. Who's heard of Reinhard Bonnke before? Yeah, an amazing man of God. He spent 7 years laboring on the mission field in a very traditional kind of way. And it actually recounts that like he didn't have a lot of, let's say there wasn't a lot of fruit to his labor for the first 7 years. Then he has this vision. God gives him a vision for Africa. And he literally sees a blood washed map of Africa, and he hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Africa shall be saved, Africa shall be saved." And then in 1967, he actually actions this vision. Who knows, it's important to put obedience with what God gives us, right? So he actions this vision and he starts like preaching open air kind of, doing open air preaching. And because the Lord is faithful when he gives us something, it's him who outworks it. All of a sudden, it starts to build incredible momentum and people start coming to the Lord in great numbers. In 2019, Reinhard Bonnke passed away, and it was quoted at the time that he led to the Lord something like 70 million people, which is just a phenomenal figure. To have 7 years of ministry that was almost unfruitful, a vision that the Lord gives him where he imparts something for what it is that he's calling to do. Obedience that partners with the vision that sees over 70 million people come to Lord is incredible. Visions are one way that God speaks to us. Another way that the Lord can speak to us is through dreams while we're sleeping. Personally, I'm super grateful for this way. I'm not a huge dreamer by night, but I do appreciate when I spend one third of my life sleeping, hopefully that would be a great night's sleep, that the Lord would come and that he would speak to me through those times. If you're a busy parent or if you're a busy business person, can I invite you to actually ask the Lord specifically to speak to you through dreams at nighttime? I often find when my mind can be quite busy during the day or there's a lot happening in my life, God is still speaking and I still sense him, but sometimes is at nighttime when my brain is actually quiet and I can't argue back that the Lord allows his heart to be transformed into my heart in dreams. We see this in the book of Acts. We see in Acts 16, 8 to 10, Paul and Timothy, they're traveling throughout the ancient world. They're preaching the gospel. And it says that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen this vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So God actually gives direction in this account to Paul of where they should go through a dream that he had at nighttime. So dreams from God are a powerful way for God to communicate with us. We have three different, often they categorize dreams and visions from God from three different sources. So one, God dreams from God. Awesome. We've got that. Next one, dreams from the enemy. Dreams that may seem quite dark or quite in opposition to the Lord. And the third one is sometimes dreams that come from like our soul, that come from our flesh. Maybe you call them like bad pizza dreams, something like that. Can I actually encourage you that in all three of these, we can actually hear the voice of the Lord? So I don't have time, and I would so love to talk to you about symbology of dreams and how we can interpret dreams. But because I don't have time, I've put together a little something for you to take home on another QR code. We love it. And that'll actually help you to understand how to interpret different dreams, how to find symbology and relate it back to biblical passages. It's really important that we're rooted in the Word of God when we're interpreting dreams and visions. But even in things that we feel like maybe are from our soul realm, there is God in all of these things. So I remember a friend a little while ago was saying to me, oh, I had this really kind of disturbing dream where I like would try to stand up out of bed and I'd be like put back to bed, and then I'd try and get back out of bed again and I'd be like put back to bed again. And she was quite disturbed by it. And I said to her, do you reckon maybe it could just be God speaking through your soul, telling you that your soul actually needs rest? It had been a very busy ministry time for this friend, and they'd been so busy giving out to everybody. I think that God was actually using her soul to speak to her, saying, hey, like you can lie down. Like it's time for you to have a rest right now. So even in soul dreams where we feel like maybe it's not coming from God, I'm going to encourage us to search Him and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal maybe even what He's saying through that. Just recently, I was doing a dream interpretation course with a friend in the States, and she was talking about even how through dark dreams that seem to be from the enemy, we can actually discern God in them. And I was like, wow, I've never heard this before. And she was talking about how God is the creator. He is the one who creates the enemy. He can only distort, create a counterfeit, steal, kill, and destroy. That's His very nature. So anything that is created has to come from the Lord. So when we see a distorted picture of something, what we can ask God for is, what is the interpretation behind that? What is the opposite of that? If this is coming from the opposite kingdom, what is the opposite of that that is the truth? So we can, for example, I was preparing for this message and I actually had a demonic encounter. I don't get too fussed about those things, but it was quite an intense one. And I had a vision of a spirit of opposition that was really an intimidation that came up in my face sort of like this. I was like, wow, okay, that's interesting. I was like, I'm going to apply the teaching I just learned. I was like, okay, God, I know what the enemy would like to do with this. He would like to intimidate me. He would like to oppress me. But what is God, like, what are you actually saying through this? So looking at what the opposite of that was okay, the enemy is not going to try to be intimidating me if there's nothing to intimidate for, right? Like it means that in some way where even I may not be feeling like I'm taking any ground for the Lord, or where I might not even be feeling like, is this really what you want to say to these people, God? There is something that is stirred up in intimidation. So let me see the opposite of that. Let me see that as an encouragement to keep going in what I am doing, because the Lord is clearly there. Something is clearly happening. So I just encourage you in any of these three ways to really search, what is God saying? What does God have to say about this particular dream or vision, no matter what source it comes from? Is that okay? So in the QR code, you'll find more details of actually how to do that practically in specific situations. Awesome. So let's look at a way that we can actually identify what is a God dream. How do I know if it's bad pizza? How do I know if it actually is a dream directly from God? So the first thing we need to know is that God will never contradict Himself. He is the Spirit, He is Jesus, and He's God the Father. So when we receive a vision or a dream from the Holy Spirit, it's never going to actually come into opposition with the character of God, with who we know Him to be. It's not going to contradict the Word of God. They are three in one. They're one God, three parts, one God. That's actually the doctrinal foundation of the first two doctrinal foundations of the Australian Christian churches that we are part of, is that we know that God is three in one. So it's never going to contradict the Word of God. And you can see how, as a prophetic people, living prophetically, how important it is to know the Word of God, to know the full context of the Word of God, not just parts, bits in here, but actually reading the whole Bible from start to finish and knowing the full context. So if you haven't read your Bible yet from start to finish, I want to really encourage you to have read the full counsel of the Lord. Awesome. The second way that we can understand a God dream or determine what is a God dream is that the characteristics of God-given dreams will glorify God and benefit others. So they are not to make us look cool. They are not to make us look good. They are not to, they're not about us at all. They're about him and his people in building his church. Desmond Tutu, South African pastor that you may have heard of, he received a Nobel Peace Prize for his work against apartheid in South Africa. He shares his dream as this. He says, "I have a dream. Please help me to realize it. It is a dream for a world. It is a dream of a world whose ugliness and squalor and poverty and its war and hostility, its greed and harshness, competitiveness, its alienation and disharmony are changed into their glorious counterpart, where there will be more laughter, joy, peace, where there will be justice and goodness and compassion and love and caring and sharing. I have a dream that my children will know where they are members of one family, and the human family, God's family, my family." See how this God-given vision really aligns with the character and the nature of God? We can determine it like that. So maybe you have a God dream to open a cafe where the presence of God is really the thing that people experience. They're not really coming back for the good coffee or the great service, but that they can just feel a real peace in this place that is beyond what they even know that they're understanding. Or maybe you have a God dream to raise your children. Maybe you have a God dream to homeschool your children and to raise them as mighty men and women who know Jesus and who can affect a generation. God dreams will glorify God, not us, and they will serve to benefit others, often to benefit the next generation. Dreams from God will require God. It's really easy to know if you have a God dream because you kind of feel like, oh, this is too big. I'm not equipped. I'm not the right person, Lord. Someone else, you've got the wrong postcode. It's not me. But a God dream, a good key to understanding it's a God dream is it will require God. There will be a lack on your behalf. That is because we need him. We're meant to be doing it with him. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He didn't know how to build or construct anything. He'd never constructed anything in his life. He was just there to taste some things and pray and hope God that was okay and move on to the next thing. He was not a builder. But when the Lord spoke to him, when he had this vision from God, it came with an impartation of everything that he needed for that dream to be completed. So good way to know that it's a God dream is you're going to need God for it. And if you're feeling out of your depth, maybe it is God. John 15:5 says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We can do nothing apart from the Lord, especially outworking the things that he has asked us to outwork. So whether this is the grace to homeschool your kids to raise this next generation, whether this is discipling your employees in your accounting firm so that your accounting firm really isn't an office but it's more like an altar to God, whatever it is that we need the Spirit of God to fulfill the dreams of God. And lastly, we can identify a God dream because it will be a little small part of a much bigger dream. And this is kind of where I want to camp out today. We're going to go a little deeper into this because I want to propose to you today, did you know that God actually has a dream? He has a dream. He has a dream in his heart. And it's been the same dream since the beginning of time. It's been the same dream from Genesis 1 all the way through to Revelation to the same dream that it is right now. And that is to live in intimate relationship with us. That is to see all of mankind live in this place of intimate relationship with us. And that we would love him and that he would love us. And it would be this cycle of love. That is his dream. That is his dream. And even Jesus himself, no matter what humanity did to sever that dream from Eden, right? In Eden, we were in this place where we were living in beautiful union with him. Man came along. We made some not great decisions. We created a space by sin between God and us. And then Jesus didn't have his own dream, but Jesus was part of the dream of Father God to live in this kind of union and intimacy and love. And Jesus came and fulfilled his part in the greater dream of God. So that is our role too, just like him, that our dreams and our visions are not about us and not about what we can do, but they're actually a small part of the much bigger dream that God has for the world. So if God has a dream that we cannot fully understand the dreams that God gives us outside of God's bigger dream for humankind, all of our little dreams, the dreams of Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Nehemiah, Joseph and Mary, the Apostle Paul, they all add up to little parts of God's bigger dream. To see the kingdom come and the will of God be done here on earth as it is in heaven. To see the world reconciled back to this intimate relationship with the Father. So I want to take a moment actually to say that I am sorry if any pastor, any leader, anyone that has led in any way has made the gospel more about us, our dreams, our goals, our giftings, than it has made it about Jesus. Because it's all about him. All of the prophetic living, all of the gifts, they're about him glorifying him and seeing his heart manifest here on earth. So I wonder if we put God back at the center instead of seeking what is my call or my gift or my dream, if we just became fascinated with him and his dream, all the dimensions of what that could look like in his heart, I wonder what dreams God would share with us. So if it is his dream to live in intimate relationship with every son and daughter to see the kingdom of God come and his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, the question isn't what is my dream, but the question is what part of God's incredible dream do I get to be part of? What little part is he asking me to steward? So I had a friend, Christy, who she was a sports teacher in Geelong. We kind of grew up at the same time. And her dream was that she would teach sports at the local school that we went to school at when we were in school. And she would surf on the weekends and love life living at the beach. Christy, the problem was, followed God all the way to India on a mission trip. And... and encountered God's dream for the women of Kolkata who had been rescued out of sex trafficking. So much did she catch the heart of God for this dream that her life completely changed. She moved to Kolkata, India. She opened a house where she took in 5 or 6 women at a time who had been rescued out of sex trafficking. She loved them. She gave them a skill because when she heard that most of the women that got rescued went back into some kind of trafficking, she received the heart of God for that. And one thing that happens sometimes when we say the yes to the small part of God's dream that he is asking us to do is that we actually have to die to ourselves and die to our own dream. And that's what happened in Christy's life, to actually see the fruit of the kingdom come and his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. She had to move very far away from what was comfortable, what was convenient, what she thought was going to happen with her life, the surfing that she loved, the friends that she had. She was living in a very small town for a very long time in Kolkata. But she saw the heart of God, the dream and the vision that the Lord had for these women's lives happen as she laid down her own dream. So sometimes what we have to do when we get part of God's heart and a dream for him is we actually have to allow the Spirit of God to bring things to death in our own lives, our own things, the things that we have wanted, and see this exchange of our will for his will. And we see this even in the life of Jesus, which I honestly am very encouraged by, because even our Messiah, the incredible Jesus, who is part of the Godhead, he himself in his own humanity in the Garden of Gethsemane kneels down in front of the Father and says, "Is there any other way? Is there any other way?" This is Jesus having another will for the situation. We actually see him as a human saying, "I wish there was another way, Father. Is there another way?" But this moment of surrender in tears saying, "Okay, if there isn't, but let your will be done. Let your will be done." And so sometimes the way that we can actually dream more or we can receive these dreams from God is actually to allow ourselves to die, allow the things that are in us to die, and allow God to birth his heart, his dreams, and his visions in our lives. I know that is a hard gospel to preach, but it is the truth. Not your will be done, not my will be done, but yours. We need to be willing to serve a greater vision than the one that we have for ourselves. We need to be willing to serve a vision that is often multi-generational. When David received all the blueprints for the temple, I could imagine he's like, "I cannot wait to see this finished," right? Sometimes when God gives us dreams, like, "I cannot wait to see this finished." But it wasn't actually God's dream for him to build it. He actually gives these blueprints to his son Solomon. He passes on the dream to the next generation, to his son Solomon, and says, "Okay, here it is. Here's what God has birthed. Here's my part in this. Here's now your part in this." So we have to be willing when we want to receive dreams from God to be willing to be part of something that is so much bigger than just us and our lives. We've got to know that there are challenges to pursuing God-given dreams. Nehemiah chapters 4 and 5, we see he faces so much opposition. He faces mocking from people that are around him. They try to coax him out of what he's doing. No, no, come and talk to us. Like, we need to speak to you. We're not sure really what's happening. People say to him, like, oh, as if these Jewish families are going to be able to do anything and rebuild this wall. So there's a lot of discouragement that comes. And sometimes when we're following God's dreams, that happens as well. But if that is you, if you find yourself in that part of the story, I want to encourage you with the words of Nehemiah. And he says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. So fight in community, fight as a faith community for the dreams that God has given you. And if you want to have God dreams, I would propose that we need to be ready, I said this, to be inconvenienced, discomforted, and to follow the Spirit of God. Actually, in that first speech, Martin Luther King, when he preached, I have a dream that one day, he wasn't planning on preaching that at all, actually, which is awesome. He had a more structured speech, a more polished speech. He got to almost the end, and there was a famous gospel singer, Malia Jackson, I probably have pronounced that wrong, but she literally yells out to him, Martin, tell us about the dream. Tell us about the dream. She provokes and calls out the dream that he has in his heart. He has to derail from the plan and from what looked good and sounded good to actually pull out the vision in his heart. So I want to encourage us as a people going after the dreams of God, call out that what you see in someone else. If there looks like they're sticking to the plan or they're sticking to the structure, be the one that calls out, tell us about the dream. Tell us about the dream. Lastly, I want to encourage us to be entrusted with a little part of God's dream for humanity. Don't seek the dream, but seek God. This is really important. Dreams and visions, they are wonderful. They are amazing. Prophetic words, they are wonderful. They are amazing. They are incredible tool that God gives us to serve one another. But if we seek them and we don't seek him, we will miss so much. He is the prize. He is all that we could ever want. And then he gives us dreams, visions, prophetic words, words of knowledge. When we pray, the gift to be able to heal people, he gives us all of that. But seek him. Seek the gift giver, not the gifts. And then everything else will be added that we need to serve and love one another. If I can get the worship team maybe to join me. So I want to ask us some questions today. What is your God-given dream? What is the little part of God's heart that he has entrusted to you? Is there something? I feel the Holy Spirit even pressing on things in people's hearts and minds now. And are you stewarding it? Did God speak to someone or did speak to something? Did you receive a prophetic word? Did you have a dream or did you have a vision many years ago? And maybe you found yourself in the place of Nehemiah where you were mocked or where you were discouraged and you've kind of let it go. Or maybe you find yourself in this place where you're like, oh my gosh, this dream is so big. It's certainly not for me. I could never do that. I could never change what foster care looks like in Australia. I could never change the way that this legislation looks in our state. That's a good God dream. It needs God. Maybe we've missed something because we thought more that it has to do with what we can do than what God can do through us. Have we missed something because, honestly, it's so much easier to stay in the place of comfort and convenience? It is. It really is. Maybe we've missed something God was speaking to us because it was too much out of our way. It would inconvenience us too much. It'd be too much of a stretch. I'd have to change all of these things. I'd have to change where my kids go to school. I'd have to change this. I'd have to move here. Maybe the Holy Spirit is pressing on some of our hearts in this space today. Or maybe, honestly, we just have to lay down our dreams for God's. Might get you all to stand at this moment if you don't mind. I'll share you a little secret. This definitely was not the dream that I had for my life. It really wasn't. It really wasn't. So far. So far. And there are many times where to actually, when I'm seeking the heart of God and when I'm not feeling like I'm hearing him or I'm not feeling like I'm I'm seeing things and I feel a little distant to God. Often I have to die to something in myself. Have to die to something that I want, something that I have in my heart. Maybe that's you today. Maybe there's something in that space that the Lord is inviting you. Come and receive this dream, but let this lay down. Put this down to receive what I have for you. So I hope that you've heard today that God does have a dream for humanity. He has a dream for us. And he's a part for all of us to play in that. And I love that you're in a purpose series because the prophetic and purpose are so linked together. He wants to see all of mankind reconciled to him. He wants to see his kingdom manifest on earth. When we receive God dreams, we get to be part of this overall dream in all the little ways, in our homes, in our families, in our communities, in our businesses, in our workplaces. It's all the same for him. And we actually get to see God be glorified and to see his kingdom come and his will be done. So I just want to pray for us. You might, if you're in a season where you feel like you're a little lost, you need a dream or a vision from God for the purpose and the plan of your life, I'm going to just open your hands. Lord, I just thank you that you have a purpose and a plan for each person's life. That when you literally dreamed us up before we became a present being in the wombs of our mother. And I just pray, Lord, that as we come to you and we ask you and we seek you, for what that looks like in this season of our life, in this place, in the east of Melbourne. Yeah, I feel like lots of mothers, that God is going to speak to lots of mothers. I ask, Lord, that you would release prophetic dreams and visions of the way that they can be part of your heart dream. How they can usher in the kingdom of heaven in their place, in their mother's group, in the school they go to, in their workplace, Lord. Yeah, come Holy Spirit, just release dreams and visions for those of us who feel like we are missing something that we haven't seen or heard from you in this space in a while. And God, for those who find themselves in the middle of the book of Nehemiah, mocked maybe perhaps before, or unsure because there's been taunts around what you've already spoken. Lord, would you come? Would you baptize afresh with the boldness of the Holy Spirit? I thank you that we need your Spirit to empower us to do what it is that you've called us to do. So I just pray, God, for a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit that would give boldness to us to do the things that we cannot do. And I thank you that that's the very point, that they would point to a God that is bigger than ourselves, that they would point to a Spirit of God that is living and active. Yeah, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.